Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church, and welcome back to episode 3 of a new book study series on 1 Timothy called Live Like a Leader. As we look closer at Paul's blueprints for gospel-shaped churches and leaders. You know, I love and always have loved Paul's heart for the church and for his spiritual son, Timothy, here in this book. This young leader who's pastoring a very important church in a notoriously pagan city. And he shares practical insights into how the gospel, when taught properly, and that's very important to understand, can change us to live life as gospel influencers, kingdom leaders that are set apart with great purpose. That's what God, his call for each of our life is before us. But before we jump into the message today, I want to take a moment, a quick moment, to express my gratitude to all of you online, all of you that are here in the house who have a part to play in our vision offering last week. We couldn't have done it without you. We're believing that by year end, we'll have met our goal of raising $80,000 to pay off our parking lot and upgrading some of our important tech and media. And so again, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate your generosity, and we pray that as you dig in and believe God for miracles in your own home, in your own life, we are agreeing with you that as you plant those seeds, that great things will come as we trust God to take the little that's in our hand and multiply it. Okay, this week we're moving into chapter 3. And I'd like to focus on what many have described as a very key verse in 1 Timothy as it relates to the church. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me or look on your app to 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 15. It says, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God." So Paul is about to describe the church in three different ways. He calls it God's household. He also calls it the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Now, you can find plenty of people out there with a lot of negative things to say about the church, even people that have been hurt by the church. But it's easy to be a critic. Understanding, you know, where people are coming from is important. We need to learn to be good listeners. But I think it should help us to be determined to do better. This should be a safe place. This should be a place where people can come and experience the love of God and discover his purpose for their lives. But for me, I've always endeavored not to be a bride basher. I don't like tearing up the church. I know it's not perfect, but who is? I certainly am not. We're not going to spend time focusing on the shortcomings of the church, but instead, I have always chosen to believe in the potential of the church and its influence in a community, in a city, and in our nation. To see the church the way that Jesus does, the bridegroom, how he sees it. And in these verses that we just read, Paul speaks positively about the church and its representation of truth to the world. But it is directly related to those who lead it. Oftentimes, those who lead it can give the church a bad name. Those that lead it from a selfish standpoint, their own agenda being put to the front, it becomes very problematic. Now, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, we see Paul outlining the qualifications of its overseers, or what we today would call its pastors, dealing with the character of these individuals, and it's very important. I'm in my own life, I'm challenged by this, and understanding that we have a path to walk, a responsibility, and that both in my life and the life of our team, we need to make sure that these characteristics are represented in our life. And then in chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, we see Paul zero in on what he calls deacons. These are the elders of the church. So even our directors, even the people that are involved on our board, are men and women who have been prayerfully chosen to serve, who are faithful, and who represent what we read in these verses. What a church believes is greatly shaped by how it's represented in the world, and more importantly, how its leaders represent it, or how its leaders behave. And to be honest, that hasn't always been the best example. They haven't always behaved well, and it's a bit of a stain sometimes, but it's important to understand this. Again, we need to listen to the word, and we need to do better. We need not be a perfect place, because that's an impossibility. But we do need to be a place that is welcoming of broken people, to see people healed and freed, and understand that even its leaders are trying to be more Christ-like, to see him increase and to see us in our weakness decrease. And I believe that when church leaders are healthy, the church is healthy. Makes sense, right? And Paul clearly believed the same thing. A gentleman by the name of G.K. Chesterton, who was an English author, a philosopher, and a Christian apologist, he once said, "We do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world." You see, that's leadership. That's a definition and a good explanation of what influence is all about. Now, when I think of a household, as Paul describes to Timothy what the church should be, I think of my own. I think of a place where we grow together as a family, where boys become men, where we celebrate together, where we gather around tables and we celebrate milestones together. It's a place where we can laugh together. It's not a perfect place, but it is a supportive place filled with people that you know you can always count on. It's also a place to celebrate during those good times and also to stand together in strength during times of heartbreak and cry together during those challenging moments. You see, this is the picture I think that Paul was trying to communicate to Timothy of what the church should be and could be. He was talking about the church's potential. And I think for me, that's what excites me the most about the church is its potential. I know it's not my idea, thankfully, it's God's idea, and the potential there is unbelievable. For young Timothy, that meant confronting those who were intent to divide and confuse his family. Now, that's not fun, right? Nobody wants to do that. Hey, you're going to have to go in there and talk to these people and stop them from causing all these problems. He knew it was not going to be a pleasant situation, but he knew that in order to live like a leader, it was a necessary part of what God had called him to do. It's also necessary when you have something worth standing up for, worth laying your life down for. Let's look at Jesus. He gave everything he had for the church. For God so loved the world, and the church is part of it, that he gave his life to you and I. So today I want to take a moment and talk a bit about where we've come from as a household of faith and where we're going. And some of the leaders who have helped to shape our church community, like Paul helped to shape the church community that Paul was pastoring there in Ephesus. Now, I've always loved the topic of leadership. It's one of my favorites because it's filled, like I said, with so much potential. And whether it's within the church or within the business world, they say that all organizations have this natural growth curve. That when it starts, there's this momentum that's happening, but at a certain point, they say those organizations will plateau. Interestingly enough, about 90% of churches and businesses, their influence never goes beyond their 12th or 13th year. That's a plateau year. And many of them never exceed that certain point with any measure of success. But why is that? Well, I think one of the reasons that studies have revealed is that when they look at the people within the organization, in our case within the church, that many of the people that have grown in this organization were not aware of the passion or the energy of its origins. They weren't there in the early days when the foundation was being laid. They weren't privy to the values that these organizations or churches were birthed from. And there's some of you who can remember those days. Some of you that are here today in this auditorium or watching online were there in the early days of Calvary, and that's significant. And so today we stand benefiting from your faithfulness, from your prayers, from your sacrifice, from those who have gone before us and paid a great price, who put in long hours, who went through difficult times, and because of that sacrifice, we can say that we are stronger because of it. Now, Calvary Church began its ministry in May 1994. That's about 30 years ago, after the merger of two well-established churches, Surrey Christian Fellowship and Calvary Community Church. Pastor Gordon MacDonald and Pastor Harvey Schroeder joined together to provide spiritual leadership as overseers for their growing congregations. Now, when we look at this scripture, when we look at 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, about the description of what an overseer is all about, these are great descriptions of these two great men, these two great leaders. And then responding to kind of the rapid growth here in Fraser Heights, the church started to expand also. And on October 12, 97, the congregation held their first service in this new auditorium, the one that we sit in today, where we gather. And as the diversity of the community continued to increase, a small group was established back in September of 2001 to minister to the needs of the Mandarin-speaking families that were attending our church. And as this group continued to grow and the burden for our Chinese community increased, our Mandarin campus at Calvary was born in May of 2003. Then Susan and I and our young family were invited to join the pastoral team and move from Toronto, where we were living at the time and pastoring, to Surrey back in August of 2005. 9 years later, when Bishop MacDonald retired, he handed the shepherd staff to me, and I was installed as the new senior pastor of Calvary Church, one of the greatest joys and honors of my life. Now Pastor Harvey and his beautiful wife, they still attend online, but they do so because of health reasons. Pastor Gordon passed away in June of 2020, but his wife Glenda and one of their three sons and his family are still active members here at Calvary, and we love them dearly. I still miss my pastor. I still miss my friend, but I'm thankful for his leadership investment in my life as Timothy valued Paul's influence and investment in his. So today I thought it would be a great opportunity to show you a quick 5-minute clip from the 25th anniversary interview I did with both Pastor Gordon and Pastor Harvey. It's just awesome. It's only 30-minute long short film, but I would encourage all of you to go to our YouTube channel, go to our playlist, and look for short films, and you'll see this interview that I did there called Table Talk, where I interviewed the two of them, and I encourage you to watch all of it because it's just fantastic to see and understand who these great men were. So let's have a look at that now. You know, it's these stories, these values, and these leaders that have influenced our lives that I'm convinced we still need to honor. We need to remember. We need to hold on to these stories and know them. And with so many new members, so many of you that are new, maybe are hearing some of this for the first time and seeing faces that you've never seen before. But I want you to know these are the roots that we are proud of. These are the roots that we want you to also be proud of, because it's the strength of this house that is here today because of leaders like we've just heard from. In fact, the Bible talks about it in both the Old and New Testament. They talk about the past. They're always encouraging one generation to tell stories to the next, and not just to tell those stories, but to guard them and to be committed to passing them along so that one generation can share those stories with the next and pass it along so that our faith, our corporate faith, is strengthened. Now here we are, 30 years later, we've weathered plateaus and pandemics and come out on the other side of it all stronger. And I'm thankful for it. So how do we maintain healthy growth as we move forward? Well, I think one of the keys is knowing our heritage. It's celebrating it. It's remembering it. The deep roots of our household of faith. We need to remember where we've come from so that we'll know where we're going. It's very important. And we can see this throughout Scripture, and could have given many different chapters and verses to support it. But I want to stay focused on Paul's words to Timothy. So I think to strengthen the framework of what we're digging into today here in chapter 3, I'd like to jump ahead to the book of 2 Timothy, and let's set it up a bit as we get into the text here today. So Again, a little bit of context. Paul's now in prison. And even though in your Bibles, this isn't the last letter that he wrote as it's ordered in your Bible, this is his last letter chronologically. And he was expecting to die within a week, executed for his faith, taking a stand and not giving in. And so he's kind of writing his final thoughts. And anytime you listen to somebody whose days are numbered, and some of you have sat next to the bed of people that you've loved, and I know I have, and those last moments, those last words are incredibly important. So his words to Timothy in this book are extra special because it's almost got that attitude of, I've got one last thing I need to say to you. I've got one last thing I want to leave with you. And so again, he's writing to his protege as he mentors his young son in the faith. In fact, at the time, scholars believe Timothy was likely somewhere between 18 and 25 years old. He was young. This was a very young pastor, pastoring a growing church that Paul planted and encouraging his leadership along the way. Let's read 2 Timothy together, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. It says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did. He's saying, let me tell you about those who lived like a leader that came before you. He's talking about heritage. He's talking about its importance. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. This is Paul talking to Timothy. So obviously Timothy was having some rough days as a pastor. I can relate to some of those days as a leader. And he's writing to Paul, maybe with tear-stained parchment as he writes for help. Like, what do I do here? See, Paul understands it's not easy, that it's rough. And I think he wants him to understand that there's a path through the rough. You need to know that today. And that's a good place to just pause for a minute and say, some of you are in some rough moments right now and you don't have the answers, but I want you to know that whether it's finances or your health or your kids, there's some truth here that will help you move past it. Paul goes on to say, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois. So you're going through it right now. I understand that. But he's basically saying, let me tell you where you came from. Let me talk about your roots so that you understand where you're headed. Let me talk about your heritage, those who came before you. And he says, and also in your mother, Eunice. How many of you are thankful today for some praying moms and grandmothers? I know I am forever thankful for it. And then Paul says, and I am persuaded. He's talking about that same godly heritage. Now, Timothy, listen, lives in you also. For this reason, he said, I remind you. This is what I'm doing today to all of you. Wherever you're joining us from, here or out there watching the broadcast, I want you to also know the same thing, that where we have come from helps us to better understand where we're going. And he says, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So now Paul is kind of recalling when he ordained Timothy, when he laid hands on him, when he prayed for him, remembering that I recognize that call in your life as a young teenager to go and pastor the church. May we forever be a church that is always a champion of the next generation, to give them an opportunity to not despise their youth, but to embrace it and to be a part of what God has for us. And then it goes on to say, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline or sound mind. He's basically saying, come on, Timothy, you got this. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Remember your heritage. Remember the people that have gone before you. If they did it, you can do it. As a matter of fact, the fact that they pushed through gave you a new opportunity to push through today. And that's the same that is true for all of you. For the great leaders that have come before us, they've given us a platform to speak from. And it's because of their sacrifice that we stand with the liberty that we have in Jesus' name to speak in this place and in this community. Now, Paul may have been waiting to die at this moment, but he knew who he was. He didn't see himself as, oh, I'm just a prisoner. No, he saw himself as a herald, as an apostle, as a leader. He was still living like a leader while he was a prisoner. Powerful. And with his final hours, he was still leading. He was still loving and serving Timothy. He could have been complaining or sleeping or saying, you know what, I earned a break. Man, it's time for me to retire. I'm about to die. How can I help other people? I need to help myself. No. He's still helping Timothy, still discipling, still encouraging, still training for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of his church that he started. Now, earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we see some important truths that Paul shared about the church. The first one is that the church belongs to God. He planned it. He purposed it. He predestined it from the beginning of time, and he called you and I to be a part of it. He sent his son to die for it, and he made him the head of it all. Let's be careful not to be unnecessarily critical of what belongs to him. It's easy over lunch to chew up the church. It's another thing to be a builder, to apply yourself, to say, I am the church. And so if there's a weakness there, how can I make it stronger? The second truth that Paul shared about the church is that the church is a family. Church is not a building. It's not a social institution or a human organization. The church is you. The church is all of you. Paul calls the church God's household in verse 15. The church is about loving God, loving people, and loving life. A life that's filled with the purpose that he's given to us. And like Paul and Timothy and me and you, we're all a part of that same church. And then finally, Paul talks about the church being a supporter of the truth. The church supports the truth. You see, in this scripture, the expression pillar and foundation, these are architectural terms that Timothy could relate to based on where he was physically, geographically. You see, the great temple of Diana in Ephesus had 127 pillars, and so the word foundation suggests the strong ground that supported some of these structures. And so when he talks about things like pillars and foundations, these are things that Timothy could relate to because he saw the strength that they brought to this growing city. You know, in a world that rejects truth or sees it as relative, the church should be standing for truth so that everyone can see it. A beacon of light for those that are confused and wondering what the way is. Remember, sound doctrine leads to sound thinking, and sound thinking leads to sound living, sound behavior, which is much needed in our lives and within the church. So listen, let's honor our heritage. Let's treat those in our Calvary household with kindness, with consideration, and with compassion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for our household of faith, for this church, Calvary Church. We thank you for its leaders, for those that have gone before us who have paid a great price. It's because of their sacrifice that today we stand with new opportunities to continue stepping into the call that you have before us. So I pray as the vision moves forward that we too would move forward in our commitment and our compassion and our love for you, that we would grow in our faith, that we would live like a leader each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.